إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله continue the شرح of بلوغ المرام by الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى. Still on the chapter of نكاح. وعن رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا اجتمع داعيان فأجد أقربهما بعضا، فإن سبق أحدهما فأجد الذي سبق. رواه أبو داود وسنده ضعيف. The author رحمه الله تعالى says, from one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا اشْتَبَعَ دَعِيَانِ، if two inviters invite you, فَأَجِبْ أَقْرَبَهُمَا بَابًا، if two inviters invite you at the same time, فَأَجِبْ أَقْرَبَهُمَا بَابًا. He said, answer the call or the invitation, honor the invitation of the one that is nearer to you, that is the nearest or the nearer of the two neighbors to you with respect to the door, that is the one whose door is nearer to your door, is the one that you should honor his invitation. If their invitations happen at the same time, come at the same time. فَإِنْ سَبَقَ أَحْدُهُمَا، if one of them comes before, فَأَجِبُ الَّذِي سَبَقَ، then respond to the call or the invitation of the one that comes first. Even if the one that with the nearer door comes last, the one that comes to the invitation first, his invitation should be honored. He said this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood, but the chain of the report is da'if, so the hadith is da'if. But there is something, something that corroborates this. Aisha radiallahu anha, as al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala reported, said that O Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna li jarayni, I have two neighbors. فَإِلَا أَيِّهِمَا أُغْذِي، which one should I give a gift, which one should I present my gifts to? That is, I have something that I want to give to one of my neighbors. Which one should I give out of the two neighbors that I have? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِلَا أَقْرَبِهِمَا بَعْضًا، give the gift to the one with the closer door, the one that is closer to you, or the one whose door is closer to your door, is the one that you should give. So the same thing can be said of the invitation to walimatul nikah. If you are invited to walimatul nikah, and this invitation happens at the same time, which one should you honor? You should honor the one with the closer door. The one with the closer door is the one you should honor. unless if the one with the father-in-law gives you the invitation first, then in that case you honor his own invitation. You prepare his own invitation to the invitation of the one that comes last. Even if he is a closer, he is a closer to you with respect to the door. So this Asar of Aisha radiallahu anha, which Al-Imam Bukhari reported, corroborates this. Though the shape of this one, reported by Abu Dawood, is Da'if, as the author himself has said. But what Aisha radiallahu anha said when she asked the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna rijarain, I have two neighbors. فَإِلَىٰ أَيِّهِمَا أَعُوذِي, to which of them should I present my gift? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِلَىٰ أَقْرَبِهِمَا بَابًا, present your gift to the one with the closest door to you. So this is on honoring the invitation of nikah. وعن أبي جحيفة رضي الله عنه from أبو جحيفة may Allah be pleased with him, he said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا أكل متكيا, رواه البخاري. نبي الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا أكل متكيا, I don't like to eat متكيا, that he is leaning against something. I don't like eating, leaning against something. This is the practice or the practice of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, having concluded, talked about honoring of invitation and eating, the author decides to bring a hadith talking about how do you present yourself when you are eating, whenever you are invited to a place of walima or something like that. So the author decides to come up with a hadith that will tell us how best we can eat when we are at the place of eating, whether we are eating in a congregation or we are eating alone. So which is the best way to do? So the author rahmahullah ta'ala brings the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Abu Juhayfa reported. He said, Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La akulu muttaki'an, I do not like to eat muttaki'an, leaning against something. What is the reason behind this? Salah, he tried to come up with reasons why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not want to eat muttakiyan, leaning against something. Some said because the food will not go down well. The food will not go down well, and this may lead to a kind of indigestion if one does not eat in a proper way, that is in a proper condition and situation. So when you eat, relying on something, leaning yourself against something, this may not go well. So it is good for you not to eat leaning against something. So some scholars say this could be the reason why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not want to eat leaning against something. Some other scholars said the reason is that when you lean against something, you are likely to eat much. You are likely to eat much. But when you stand or you sit in a situation or in such a way that you will not eat much because of the way you have sat, they said this is better. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بحفظ ابن آدم لقيمات يقيمن صلبا, it is sufficient for the son of Adam some morsels that you eat that will make him strong. He said ثلث لطعام وثلث لشراب وثلث لنفس, the son of Adam shouldn't eat much. He should allow a third of his stomach for food, a third of his stomach for water. Then the remaining third should be for breathing, for breathing. So which means it is not okay for one to eat too much. So the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was eating, he would not like to eat too much. So he would sit in such a way that he cannot sit long, so that what it won't sit, so that he won't sit comfortably, so that he won't eat much. Some scholars said, when you recline or you lean against something, you are likely to eat much. He said this could be what the reason why Messenger of Allah would not practice itikaf whenever he was eating. So two reasons. He said the first one is that when you do itikaf, when you lean against something while eating, maybe you lean against your aunt or you lean against the wall or something like that, that you are likely not to have good digestion. The food may not go well, may not go down well the way it should. So they said this is one reason. Then the second reason is that if one does that way, one is likely to eat much. But when you sit in such a way that you cannot sit like that for long, so you want to take little food. You want to take little food. And this is in agreement with the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says, "Bihab ibn Adam, luqimatun yuqimna sulba." It is enough for the son of Adam some morsels that will make him strong. Thuluthun li ta'ami, wa thuluthun li sharabi, wa thuluthun li nafasi. So this is what a kind of advice from the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it is not haram for one to eat much. If one eats much, it is not haram, because you have cases where some companions ate to their fullest, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say they have done something that is wrong. Like one day that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Abu Hurairah a bowl of milk to drink. Now other people are drunk from the bowl. Then he gave Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu large, and he asked him to drink, and he drank to his fullest. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Drink." He said, I can no longer drink. From this scholar he said, which means it is not haram for one to eat one spoon. That it is not haram to do that. But the best thing that a Muslim can do is for him to eat in such a way that will be space in his stomach. So he would drink, use a third of his stomach to drink, a third of it for food. Then the remaining third, he will use that for breathing. So this is the practice of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not eat much. He would not eat much, so that what he can have the ability to do things. If one eats much, one may be weak, one may be feeling sleepy, one may not be able to do some things. So for this reason, it is best that one eats little. This is the best. But if one eats much, one can say it is haram to do that. Now Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La akulu muttakiyan." I will not eat muttakiyan. Some of the scholars said, part of eating muttakiyan is for one to eat while one is mutaraddid. Mutaraddid is for one to eat while you are cross-legged. So one is sitting cross-legged. They said when you sit in a way like this, you are likely to eat much. You are likely to eat much. But as you said, it is good if one doesn't eat much. Because the Messenger of Allah would not eat much. But if one does, you can say it is haram, because there is no clear text that says it is haram for one to eat much. There is no clear text that says it is haram for one to also eat leaning against something, or for one to eat cross-legged. There is no clear text that says it is haram to do that. Yes, we have the hadith that Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I would not like to eat mutakian." He says, "So, but is it haram, or he doesn't like it?" So the text indicates that he doesn't like it. So when we see somebody eating reclining, and if we want to talk about it being haram, we can't say it is haram. But you can say what is not the best for the person, particularly when we look at it from the medical angle. When we look at it from the medical angle, that if it has side effects, eating reclining against something or leaning against something, then we discourage the person from doing that based on this. But if it doesn't have any medical implication, any negative implication, in that case, we may say it is not the best to eat leaning against something, as Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would avoid eating leaning against something. As he will avoid eating leaning against something. So it is not haram, but it is better avoided, maybe for the medical benefit of one also for the best medical benefit, generally speaking. Because when we look at it, maybe not eating much is for medical benefit. When we look at it also from saying, okay, one has the digestion of what has been eaten, you say it is also from the medical angle as well. So the practice of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he will not eat leaning against something. This is the practice, but it is not compulsory to do the way you would do, or we say it is not haram for one to eat reclining, but it's not the best. When Umar ibn Abi Salama, from Umar, the son of Abu Salama, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَا غُلَامِ, O young boy, سَمِّ اللَّهِ, say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ, وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكِ, eat with your right hand, وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكِ, eat from what is close to you. Muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Now Umar bin Abi Salama is the son of Abu Salama, the former husband of Ummu Salama. When Abu Salama died and Ummu Salama was disturbed for the loss of her husband, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her to supplicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive Abu Salama, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give her what is better than Abu Salama. And eventually, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Ummu Salama. She never expected that Messenger of Allah could marry her. Because when Messenger of Allah said that she should supplicate that Allah should give her who is better than Abu Salama, Ummu Salama would be expecting somebody like Uthman or somebody like Abu Bakri or somebody like Umar, because she knew that these people, they were better than Abu Salama. She never thought Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could marry a person like her. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her supplication, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry her. Then this woman had a son for Abu Salama, and the name of that son is Umar. That son would stay with her. The son would live with her. He was living with her. So the son was with the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, and they were eating. A gulam, a young boy. A boy that has not reached the age of puberty is called Gulam. That has not reached the age of puberty is called Gulam. So the year of the boy was not mentioned in this hadith, but definitely the boy was less than 10 years old, because it was said that the boy was given birth to maybe 2 years or so before Hijra. 2 years before Hijra. So the boy would be very, very young. So this boy was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were eating. So the boy was just placing his hands in every part of the food. You know the way a lot of people who eat, even from old people, not young people only. So the way they will eat, maybe there is a big meat somewhere in front of another person, he wants to prepare to go for that one. So the boy was just moving his hand around. The Prophet of Allah SWT cautioned him, and he said, "Ya Ghulam, O young boy, Bismillah, say Bismillah before you eat. Say Bismillah before you eat." Now, these some people would say, okay, a young boy, there is no decision in. What? You don't teach your child from this tender age, you are likely to miss it when the boy grows. Because you will be telling the boy to do so and so, and he will not be willing to do it. But when you teach it, when you teach the boy from tender age, he is likely to grow up on that. Likewise, a young girl, when you teach her something, she's likely to grow on that. And this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will teach the young people from their tender age. So he was teaching this boy, said, "Ya Ghulam, O young boy, Bismillah, say Bismillah. Say Bismillah." And this is what we should also teach our children. Don't say, "It's just 2 years old, it's just 3 years old, it's just 4 years old." Tell him or her to say Bismillah before eating. This is the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Bismillah, say Bismillah, wa kul bi yaminik." And once you are eating, if you are eating, eat with your right hand. If this baby is just a small boy, there is no need teaching him. He said, "What? Wa kul bi yaminik? Eat with your right hand." And that's why when you see your young boy or your young girl eating with left, try to correct it. Try to correct that practice. Tell him or her to eat with the right hand. Or take the fork, put it in his right hand or in the right hand. The Messenger of Allah told him, "Wa kul bi yaminik, eat with your right hand. Wa kul mimma yaliq, and eat from what is close to you." So don't go and take what is far away from you. So as he said, the boy was just moving his hand in the food. So maybe using his left hand as well. The Messenger of Allah corrected him. The boy did not say Bismillah before he put his hand in the food. So he wanted to eat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to eat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah did not say he shouldn't eat, but he corrected him that no, don't move your hands around in the food. And then use the left to eat. Then you have not said Bismillah before eating. Say Bismillah, then eat with your right hand and eat from what is close to you. So look at that. The Messenger of Allah corrected him on these three things. The boy did not say Bismillah before eating. The boy was eating with his left, and the boy was moving his hands around. The Messenger of Allah corrected him. He did not keep quiet on that to say, "Oh, this boy was still young." He said, "Ya Ghulam, Bismillah, wa kul bi yaminik, wa kul min ma'alik." Oh young boy, say Bismillah, eat from what is close to you, likewise eat with your right hand. So this is something that we as Muslims, we should train our children upon. We know the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that to correct the young ones. Like when he told Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said to him, Ya ghulam, O young boy, inni wa'allimuka kalmatin. I'm going to teach you some words. I'm going to teach you some words. And making of Allah was in issues of tawheed. A boy that had not reached Hubas. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu then could not be more than 10 or so years. But the Prophet Allah was teaching him Tawheed. Said, Ya Ghulam, O young boy. The same thing he was telling Umar, the son of Abu Salama here. The boy not up to 10 years old was teaching him the etiquette of eating. So some people, their children, they put hand in food and they will be silent on that. They put hands in food, maybe moving their hand around in the food. They just see a young boy. No. Correct him. Correct her. Correct him. Correct her. Then some of them, they will use their legs to eat. Correct him or her. Likewise, some of them will eat, would not say Bismillah. Yes, they are young, but you have to teach them. When you teach them with this, they grow up with it, and it becomes part and parcel of them. Just as when Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Muru awladakum bis salah wa abna sab'in wa dribuhum alayhi wa abna 'ashrin." Your children, teach them to observe salah. Order them to observe salah when they are age 7. And when they are age 10 and they refuse to pray, you beat them lightly for not praying at age 10. They have not reached puberty. They have not reached puberty yet. You are asked to beat them slightly. You are asked to beat them lightly. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. He said, وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. And you should also separate their bellies. So okay, this is a male, this is a female. Don't put them at the same place. So you have to separate their bellies because they are growing on things like this. So if most Muslims are teaching their children what they should be taught at tender age, most people will grow up to be God-fearing, they will grow up to have taqwa, they will grow up to have the adab of Islam. But the issue is that most of us will see them as, no, they are still young. So we try to condone a lot of things, we try to tolerate a lot of things. Now, as for beating them, one may not be beating them because that is not the best way. For you to teach them is the most important thing. If they do this, tell them, no, this is not the way to do it, this is the way to do it. Not just beating. And that is why Islam does not encourage beating the children until they have reached the age of what? Beating, or if it is necessary for them to be beaten in such a way that will not harm them. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar, the son of Abu Salama, Ya Ghulam, O young boy, Sallallahu, say Bismillah. You have not said Bismillah. Wa kul bi yaminik, eat with your right hand, you are eating with the left. Wa kul mimma yaliik, eat from what is close to you. Don't move your hand around in the food. Now, by this issue, the saying of Bismillah while eating or before eating, is it compulsory or is recommended? We have in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah instructed the boy, Sammi. This is Fidu Amri. And according to it, a lot of scholars of Usul Fiqh, Al-Amr Yufidu Ujud. When we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding us to do something, or Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanding us to do something, it means it is compulsory to do it. According to most scholars of Usul Fiqh. Now here we have Sammillah. This is command. Does that mean that before I eat, it is compulsory on me to say Bismillah? Now a lot of scholars, they said it is more compulsory to say Bismillah. Why? They said because an amru fil adab, when you see a command, in issues that have to do with adab, that is other than the ibadah, he said, al-aslu fi al-istihbab. The basis in it is that it is recommended. When you see a command, in other than ibadah, no salah, no fasting, no zakah, other than ibadah, there is a command either from Allah or from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some scholars of usul al-fiqh, they said that does not mean it is wajib. It means it is recommended. It is based on this that a lot of scholars of fiqh have said this amru is not amru of wujub, it is amru of istihbab. However, when we look at this issue or these principles, some of the principles that the scholars of usul fiqh will put down, one, they do not agree on all the principles. Al-amru yufidu al-wujub, as you said, this is what a lot of scholars of usul fiqh they choose. But some scholars of usul fiqh, they said, no, you have to look, if it is adab, then we say it is istihbab. If it is ibadat, we say it is what? Wujub. So some scholars of usul fiqh, they are differentiated between adab and what? And ibadat. But which one is correct out of the two? This is something that one cannot categorically say the one that is correct is to say that if it is adab, it is what? It's ihbab. If it is ibadah, it is wujub. It is the context that will make us know that this is what? Wajib or mustahab. It may be ibadah. It may be ibadah. And it is not what? Wajib. It is mustahab. It may be adab. And it is what? It is wajib, not mustahab. So, and that is why when we talk about usul al-fiqh, usul al-fiqh, some people, they emphasize usul al-fiqh more than necessary. Because what matters most is what is what Allah said, what the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This is what matters most. But for us to put down principles, and the principles we'll be using it, or using them to knock off what is clear in the text, this will not be okay. And that's why some people, as a result of relying on usul al-fiqh, they've made so many errors. As a result of what relying on what some of the principles of usul al-fiqh. And usul al-fiqh, the way some people take it today, it's not the way the son of Usali they took it. Ordinarily, being somebody who understands Arabic language very well, you already understood or understand usul al-fiqh. If you understand Arabic language very well, you understand usul al-fiqh. Why? Because Messenger of Allah Muhammad Allah never taught the companions usul al-fiqh. He never sat them down to say, okay, I'm going to teach you usul al-fiqh. You know, never sat them. But because they are Arabs, when the King of Allah says something or Allah says something, they understand it. Take for instance now, if I say, if you like, you sit down there, if you like, you sit there. Somebody understands what the person is saying there. How is it clear? If I say, if you like, you sit there, am I giving the person option? Or I'm telling to watch? Where did we learn that usul al-fiqh? It is a language. So any language, if you understand the language very well, you understand how they communicate. When Allah says, "Mashaa'a al-yumin, mashaa'a al-yakfur," whoever wins can believe, and whoever wins can watch, disbelieve. Does that mean that watch they are equal? No. When Allah says, "Al-ajum ta'un," you go away from it. When we're talking about intoxicants, and he said, "Fal antum muntahun," will you go away from it? Is Allah asking us questions? The Arabs, they know that Allah is telling them, go away from it. Though it comes in question form, will you go away from it? But it means what? Go away from it. When you ask somebody, don't you hear me? Are you telling that what? Are you asking the question? What you are telling him to do what you have watched, what you have said. So Utulu speaking is part and parcel of what? The language. Yeah? That is for you to understand the Sharia, you have to understand the language very well. If you don't understand the language very well, you cannot understand what the Sharia very well as well. What I'm trying to say in essence is that when some scholars said what it is mustahab to do Bismillah, they line on what some principles of usul fiqh that have been put down, that al-aslu fil adab, al-aslu fil adab, that is what it has to do with adab. The aslu in the amru with respect to adab is what? Al-istihbab. A lot of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that are not things of ibadat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put down what? Severe punishment when you do it. So I'm going to say it is what? It is adab, so I'm not going to do it. Allah will punish me because it is adab. So some people, they rely on things like this to do the thing of the thing, and they use it to rubbish a lot of things that are established in the Sharia. So, wallahu alam, what is correct here is that what sammillah means what? Compulsion. Now, if it is not compulsion, how could mention of Allah be telling a boy less than 10 to mention the name of Allah while eating? Which means what? It's something that is important. So, wallahu alam, the correct view is that it is compulsory on anyone who wants to eat to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before eating. And if he forgets and he remembers, he should say what? Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirah. Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirah. If you remember, he should say that. But for us to say it is mustahab to say Bismillah at the beginning of what? Of the food. Why? Because some scholars of usul fiqh have said it is mustahab when we see Amru in Adab. So this will not be correct. That principle is not correct. What will be correct is for us to say what? Al-Aslu fil Amri al-Wujud. The basis in commandment is what? It's obligation. That is the basis. You tell your boy, your child, sit down here. And the boy starts what? Laughing. Huh? So, the boy now asks you, is it compulsory on me to sit or not? You know, you ask me, you'll be mad with him. Ask you to sit, you're asking right or no. I don't know whether it is what recommended or... So the ask me is what? It's compulsory for you to sit. When they ask you to sit, your boss asks you to do something, you can't say what, is it compulsory or is just a recommendation. Until you see something that signifies or indicates that this thing is what? A recommendation, not an obligation. Then in that case, you can shift from it being obligatory to it being recommended. So this is what the correct principle. Al-aslu fil amri al-wujub. What it has to do with what? Adab, or it has to do with ibadah. What it has to do with adab, or it has to do with ibadah. The basis, it is recommended. So this is something that we should understand. So it is recommended to say Bismillah, that is, it is obligatory to say Bismillah at the beginning of what? Our food. What could be a meaning? Likewise, eat with your right hand. Eat with your right hand. Now, this is a similar thing here. He said it also must have to eat with the right hand. This is what a lot of scholars have said. But this is not correct as well. This is not correct. It is compulsory to eat with the right hand. Unless the one who doesn't have the right hand, so that would be what? A different case. But the one who has right hand should eat with the right hand. So, and Boutrej, this is what I've said by what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told a man. When he asked the man to eat with his right hand, the man said, "La, I can't eat with my right hand." Messenger of Allah said, what? لَا تَطَعْتَ. You will not be able to eat this, your right hand. مَا مَنَعْوِ لَلْكِبِرِ. It is arrogance that has prevented him from eating with his right hand. He said, فَمَا رَفَعَ يَدَهُ أَوْ فَمَا رَفَعَ يَمِينَهُ إِلَىٰ فِيهِ. The man was not able to raise his right hand to his mouth because the Prophet of Allah caused him. So he told Pompous that no, this is the way I like it. I like using the left hand to eat. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَطَعْتَ. You will not be able to do it. So the man could not eat with the right his right hand till he left his word. So this tells us that what eating with the right hand is not something that we say is mustahab. Why is it the mustahab? The Messenger of Allah would not be harsh on somebody like that. So contrary to what a lot of scholars have also said, what could mean by eat from what is also close to you. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when you just move your arm around in the plate, you are eating together. And some people, they feel irritated by that act of yours. So why not eat from the closest place to you? So you know that you are eating here. But for you to be moving your hands around, this is not a good, it's not a good manner of eating. So this is what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this young boy. Now by this issue, is the different lie said by one person sufficient for all the people? You are eating together in a bowl. And one of you says Bismillah, is this enough for all of you? Just like when somebody says response with what it taslim, you have a group of people and one person responds to the taslim that is given to them. Is that sufficient? Yes, it's sufficient. But can we say similar thing with respect to that of eating? You are eating together. At the beginning, one of you just said, Bismillah. Is that enough? Is it enough? Why is it not enough? Have you not opened it with Bismillah? Have you not opened the eating with Bismillah? Now, some scholars have said, yes, it is enough. Yeah? Because you have opened it with Bismillah. You have opened it with the name of Allah. But when you look at text, it seems it is not enough. Why? One, the Messenger of Allah told the small boy, Bismillah. Say Bismillah. Won't the Messenger of Allah say Bismillah? If it's sufficient, the Messenger of Allah wouldn't have told the boy, Bismillah. Because the Bismillah that he said would have been sufficient for all of them. So for him to have told him to say Bismillah, that shows that it is God compulsory on every individual that is eating to say Bismillah. Like when a young girl came and wanted to put her hand in the food, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had her hand and he said Shaitan wanted to eat with them. Despite the fact that others have said what? Bismillah. So this shows it is what? It is compulsory on everyone to say Bismillah, contrary to what some scholars have said. Now, Bismillah or Bismillah Rahman Rahim? Is it Bismillah or Bismillah Rahman Rahim? Now, all the scholars all agree that Bismillah is enough. Now, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, is it recommended? Some said yes, it is recommended. Some said no, we don't have evidence for that. What you have evidence for is Bismillah. Is Bismillah. Wallahu alam, it is better avoided. That is, Bismillah Rahman Rahim is better avoided. You say what? Bismillah. To stick to the Sunnah. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوتي بقطعة من ثريج. عبد الله بن عباس may Allah be pleased with him and his father said that Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was brought with قطعة من ثريج, with a place of Sarij. Sarij is like bread that has been maybe mixed with something. فقال Messenger of Allah said, كُلُوا مِن جَوَانِبِهَا. Eat مِن جَوَانِبِهَا from its sides. وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِن وَسَطِهَا. Do not eat from the center. Do not eat from its center. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ تَنْزِلُ فِي وَسَطِهَا. For blessing of Allah is descending in the center. رواه الأربعة. The four reported this: Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. وَهَذَا لَفْظُ النَّسَائِي. This warning is the warning of Nasa'i. وَسَنَدُهُ صَحِيحٌ. And the Shaykh is authentic. Now we have heard that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, why you are eating with other people? Try to eat from your side. Your side. Try to eat from your side when eating with other people. Now here is telling us that you should not eat from the center. You shouldn't eat from the center. So you all should avoid eating from the center. The center of the food should be the last thing to eat. Unless if you have something special in the center, maybe there are meat in the center that you want to take. But if they are all the same, they are all right. For instance, so eating from the center is like what you are taking the baraka of the food. You are eating the baraka of the food first. So the remaining will not have what? Will not have baraka. So when you eat from the side, the baraka of the food is with you till the end of the food. So that's why he told the companions that they should eat from the side of the food. They shouldn't eat from the center of the food. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ تَنْزِلُ فِي وَسَطِهَا. For baraka continues to descend in the center of the food. So we should marry this with what you have had before. When you are eating, you eat from your side. So this one is eating from his side, his side. So we leave the center till what? Till it is the turn of the center. Then we eat the center. Finally, with this, we get the barakah of the food. And that is why a Muslim is rewarded in all the things that he does. In all the things that he does, if he does them in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed him. Even when you are eating, you get what? You get barakah. When you are eating, you get barakah. You get reward for eating. You are asked to say Bismillah before eating. Then when you are eating, you are asked to what? To eat with your right hand. When you are eating, you are asked to eat from where it's close to you. When you are eating, you are asked not to eat from the center. Unless if what is in the center is what you have to take. As I mentioned, like meat, for instance. So the basis is that you eat from your side, not from the center. What will make you eat from other person's side is if what is kept in other person's side is not the same thing with what is with you. Take for instance, now you are presented with a plate or a tray of different foods. You have, for instance, in front of you, there is a grape in front of you, but there is, let's say, apple in front of another person that is at the side of the tray. Apple is at the side of that person. So you want apple, then you can take from that side. But if it is apple in front of you and apple in front of your brother, you take from the apple in front of you. Don't say, I want to go for the bigger one there. No. Don't do that. So, teaching of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you take from your side, not from the center. Not from the center. As the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So this is also very, very important. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال from أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه with him he said ما عاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طعاما قط Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم never spoke ill of any food. Never spoke ill of any food. As long as it's halal food. وَكَانَ إِذَا اشْتَهَى شَيْئًا أَكَلَهُ. If he اشْتَهَى شَيْئًا, if he had what appetite for a particular food, he ate it. وَإِنْ كَرِيَهُ, if he detested that food, تَرَكَهُ, he will leave it. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, this would agree upon. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not condemn the food. As long as it's the food that is halal, he won't condemn it. As long as all the food is halal. But if you don't like to eat a particular food, you are free. But for you to condemn it, it's like you are condemning the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are condemning the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say a particular food, if you like it, you eat. If you don't like it, the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented, when he visited some people, he was presented with dumbo. And dumbo is like lizard. So when he saw it, he detested the food. He detested it. But dumbo is halal. So he did not condemn it. He didn't condemn the food. So he just decided not to eat. And the companion Khalid ibn Walid said, Ya Rasulullah, أحرام هو, is it haram? Messenger of Allah said, no, it's not haram. He said, أراه لم يكن بأرض قومي, I see it not in the land of my people, فأعاقه, so I detest eating it. Huh? So he didn't eat it. That's why the fact that why it is halal. Something is halal and you may not eat it. So in Islam, you don't force people to eat food. You don't force people to eat food. If somebody doesn't like something, it is good for him not to eat it. Because maybe if he eats it, it's going to what? Affect him. Yes, the food is halal. But something may be halal and does not go that well with your own system. Don't say you want to please somebody to agree to eat it and not to what? In order to harm yourself. So this is not Islam. So by the same time, don't say no, so and so food is not good, so and so food is no. The fact that if you don't like it, leave it. There are people who like it. If it's not good for your own system, it will be good for the system of other people. So just you keep quiet, don't eat it. As long as what is not poison and it's not something that is haram, Allah has not prohibited it. And it's not something that has a negative effect on people when they eat it. Maybe you just don't like it. The fact that you don't like it, that doesn't mean what? You should condemn the food. Because it's also a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'aba ta'aman qattun, he never condemned a food. Wa kana idha ishtaha shay'an, if he liked a thing, أكله ويؤذيك. وإن كرهه, if he detested it, تركه, he will leave it. He will leave it. Now, is it applicable to when your wife prepare food to say, it's too salty, it's so so and so, it's so so and so. Is it applicable to it? What is clear that it's not applicable to it? There's a difference between condemning a particular food and condemning the way it is prepared. They may not have prepared the food in a good way. Maybe it's too salty or there is no salt in it. So you have to complain here so that what? They will know how to rectify it another time. They will know how to rectify it another time. So you will say that Messenger of Allah would not condemn the food. Then you are presented with a very salty food. You say what? Messenger of Allah, he doesn't like what you will eat. And your wife presents you with a food. And you know, when you taste it, you see it is salt, you decide to keep quiet. Eat now. I don't want to eat. So she takes it away. The following day she comes with what? The same very salty food again. Huh? Eat now. I don't want to eat. Why? He said, what? Ma'aba, Prophet to'aman qattun. Messenger of Allah will not condemn anything. No, this is not what they are saying. If you don't talk here, your wife will continue to prepare what? The same food. Unless what you talk, let her realize that, okay, this is what she's fortune is, so that she can correct it. So this is different from you condemning rice. Huh? You don't like eating rice now. You don't need to condemn it. Leave those who eat to eat. Leave those who eat to eat. But maybe rice is prepared for you now, but there is something that has been added to it that you don't like. It is good you talk. Because what will lead to a kind of disharmony, so to say, misunderstanding between you and your wife, you have to what? You have to correct it. And the wife should also be ready to what? To accept correction. Some people, when they do some things that are not okay, and you try to correct them, they don't accept or admit correction. This is not good. You are not perfect. So when you are corrected, you try to watch, rectify it. And some people, that is not how you do something, you prepare that you're able to watch to please them. Anything you do is complain. So the wife looks at herself as what? As if she doesn't know how to do anything. No. There are some things that what you can also manage. Because you yourself are not, you are not perfect. But that doesn't mean that if something is not lost by you, you shouldn't complain. You should complain. So that what you can cement and you can establish the love between both of you. And if the wife is also a good person, she will be able to also rectify. If the husband is a good person, he will be able to also correct the things that the wife has also raised. With this, you can live harmoniously. So, let me know of Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah Ta'ala, قَطْتُمْ He never condemned a particular food. وَكَانَ إِتَشْتَاءَ شَيْئًا أَكَلَهُ If he loved or he liked a particular thing, he ate it. وَإِنْ كَرِيَهُ تَرَكَ If he detested it, he will leave it. So it's not somebody who attacks food that people eat. And he said, an example of that was when it was presented with dog, with lizard. So he didn't eat, and he never condemned the food. So when Khalid ibn Walid asked, is it haram? He said, no, it's not haram. But this is not in the land of my people. So I detest it. So this is the reason why I'm not eating it. And Khalid ibn Walid just brought it closer to himself, and he finished everything. Because to him, as long as there is no evidence that it is what, it is haram. So it's something that he did not see anything wrong with it. So Allah. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال from جابر may Allah be pleased with him from the Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم he said Messenger of Allah said لا تأكل بالشمال do not eat with your left hand فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال for shaitan eat with the left hand do not eat with your left hand for shaitan eat with the left hand. Now this is the opposite of what has been said. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the small boy, وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ Eat with your right hand. Here Messenger of Allah is telling us, do not eat with your left hand. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلْ بِشِمَانِ Shaitan eat with his left. So don't eat with your left hand. Now, some Muslims, they throw this away, particularly those who rely on what some scholars have said that it is makruh to eat with the left hand. No, we said some scholars said it is what mustahab to eat with the right hand. So to them, makruh to eat with the left hand. Lord Messenger of Allah said, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِشِمَالِ Shaitan eats with his left hand. So this is not something of karah. It's something of harim. Something that is what prohibited. So a Muslim that is normal, he has two hands. When he wants to eat, he eats with what? With his right hand, not with his left hand. Now this attitude of eating with both hands, if you are not eating with your both with your both hands, you are not considered civilized. That's the way some people will do. So one hand with fork, the other hand with what? With spoon. Then you'll be eating with what? With the left and the right at the same time. This is not the adab of Islam. This is indeed the adab of Islam. Let me know Allah taught a young boy less than 10 that was full be a meaning. Eat with your right. Eat with your right hand. A boy less than 10. How can a man above 20 or 15 or 40 now eating with both hands, eating with the right, eating with the left? Where did he get that? He got it from the culture of some people. And he feel that what this culture of theirs is what has made them what has given them something above him. Now what is the relationship of eating with your left hand and what? And building aeroplane? It has no connection. So some people have been so, they have been weakened to the extent that you feel that if you don't eat with your left hand, so you can also not progress. You cannot build aeroplane, you can't build helicopter, you can't do this, you can't build houses. Why? Because you are not eating with your left hand. So you must follow the white men, you must follow the Westerners in everything that they do. So with this you can develop. But when you don't copy them in that way, you cannot develop. Wallahi, this is madness. This is madness. And that's why some sisters, you see them, they want to dress the way the white would dress, the way the Westerner would dress. Now when you dress the way the white dresses, or the way the Westerner, the way they dress, what does that mean? What you have in your edge, it's not the dress that will make it go away. You can still dress the way you are what? Islamically dressed, and you can still do all the things that you want to do. If you're a medical doctor, what you have in your head will not go because you are dressed Islamically. If you're an engineer, with your beard, what you know of engineering will not disappear. But they have made us feel that if you don't behave the way they behave, so you are not enlightened, you are not tutored, you are not exposed, you are not cultured, until you behave the way they behave. And look at the way they are moving now. You see a lot of things that they legalize. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, and you see us, we are also running after them like that. Wallah, it's sheer madness for a government to legalize that their men or their soldiers can sleep with horses, which is called bestiality. Human beings sleeping with horses, the government legalizing this, and these are the people that you are running after. So believe that what the successes that they recorded it because of what? This liberty that they have liberty to do anything. Allow the women to sleep with one another, lesbianism. Allow the men to sleep with one another, homosexuality. And some of them will try to justify that almost some animals, male animals, they sleep with one another. So if things like this, let's assume it is present in animals, which means what? You are likening yourself to animals. So we follow them in all things. And the Muslim doesn't do that. You take from other people what you know does not contradict your religion. If anything contradicts your religion, you throw it away. You have this, you have this. That does not affect your knowledge of medicine. It doesn't affect your knowledge of engineering. It doesn't take away things that you know. But for you to us to be corporate, to dress corporate. What is corporate? Who is determining what is corporate? The problem is some of us, we have this inferiority complex. Before they order us, we already watch, obeying. Before they tell us, do this, we already watch, obeying. The inferiority complex is here already. That's all. For me to belong, I have to do the way they are doing. And when you have people who are what, who stick to their religion and who do things the way they should be done, like the present foreign affairs minister of Saudi Arabia, Adib Jubeir, is a very strong man with respect to what, defending his own territory, his land. When some of the reporters, when they interviewed him, he would talk them. Very fluent in English, and have what, he has points in defending whatever he wants to defend. So a Muslim should be ready to challenge anybody, to face anybody. Because your religion has a solution for all things. So this is very, very important. It is establishing our religion. Don't eat with your left hand. It is shaitan that eats with God's left hand. You as a Muslim, you don't eat with your left hand. So all of us, some people fool you that, okay, now you are not in a conference, you are what, you are eating a buffet, so they present you with what, fork and knife and spoon. So you want to eat with both hands. So when you look at yourself, you see that, okay, maybe you are different from other people in the hall. So everybody is eating with left and right. So why should you be eating with? So you want what? You want to belong. So you start eating with what? Your left. Huh? What you know your religion is against. Wallahi, the culture of some people is that what? Spoon, they throw it away. They eat with what? With ordinary hands. That is the culture of some people. Some of the so-called developed countries, they prefer using what? Yeah. Some people prefer using what? Stick to it. Which one is correct, which one is wrong? So those who are using spoon, you can't tell those who are using stick, that what they are doing is wrong. That is your own culture. So if you are using hands to eat, that is our own culture. Some people rather than what, using plate, what they put down is what they call papra. Huh? They just pour the food on it and they start eating. So to you it's against your own culture, but to them that is what? It's their own culture. So give me the evidence that the one that you are doing is what? It's better than this. You don't have evidence for that. That is your own culture. But what you are talking about is that the culture of the people should be left for them. You don't prefer the culture of people as long as it does not contradict the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you contradict the law of Allah, you condemn the culture. So it contradicts the law of Allah eating with the left hand. So as a Muslim, you must not take that. Don't think some people are doing it. No. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes the law of other people. And those who are telling us they want to make us, they will say, okay, the Muslims, they are doing this, they are doing, they condemn some of the things that we do. And they want to impose what they do, they want to impose it on us as well. And they will ask you not to condemn what they are doing. So we should try to understand this. Now, as I said earlier, that the author brought this ahadith to tell us that when you are invited to walimatul nikah, these are the manners. This is the etiquette of eating. This is the etiquette of eating. So the relationship of this ahadith with the kitabul nikah or walimatul nikah is to tell us how to eat when we find ourselves in a situation like this. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with this that we have learned. فصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.